Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to What Yale Is Like!
Yahoo!
Yelling because we're feeling it.
I am definitely feeling it. I got a flowin' in my mowin' with towin'.
I got a flowby in my Moby, and Toby McGuire was in a movie that I watched, and it was good.
Yo!
Word.
Oh! Am I really loud again tonight?
I got you at a decent level as far as I can tell.
Don't you wish you had a volume level on me in real life? Just when we were sitting around, you could just turn me down a little bit?
Yeah, yank on your ear sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
Jab you as a cattle prod.
Ow.
Conduct electricity real good.
Whee!
2 hours of improvisational comedy, What Yale Is Like. What it is. So please, stay tuned with us, and thank you for tuning in the first place.
Yeah, really. Unless you did it by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And then no thanks.
Unless you're, in the Hanoi Hilton, and, the prisoners, you're one of the prisoners, and you're in chains, and, or you're in, hear about those things where it's like the pool, there's the water,
yeah.
And, they're trapped in there, and just barely breathe, If you have to listen to us in those circumstances, I apologize.
Yeah. Or if you're in the, Rantoul Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize.
Which is pretty, they got the pretty pool, and then it's like, it's right above, you can barely breathe.
But and that's the executive suite.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry about that as well.
Yeah, really do apologize.
Take it, Rantoul, take it!
How you doing this week, Eric?
I'm doing incredibly well.
Yeah?
Yeah, I had strange high school girls snapping pictures of me on a train today.
That's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, it was slightly unnerving, but they were coming down to pose surreptitiously. As surreptitious as, 16-year-old, hormone vats can be. But, trying to not disturb me reading my book. And, I played along and just sat there and read my book.
So you're on a train today. How's the modern train experience?
Let me tell you. The modern train experience, I got all excited because I'm writing. I'm in writing mode right now, and I'm working on something.
Mm-hmm.
And I really was looking forward to having 2.5 hours of writing time, because the last time I was on the train, I happened to have my computer, my laptop with me. And there was a plug that in every seating area, there was this plug on the wall, two outlets.
So not just a massively long extension cord kept plugged in at your mother's place?
No, no. And the battery on my laptop is shady, to say the least. It'll tell you it's got 2 hours left and then just shut off and you lose everything. So I don't trust it. We're thinking about going to counseling and trying to work it out.
Mm-hmm.
But, for now, I use the plug. And so last time I, was able to plug in and write for 2.5 hours. So I was all excited, man. I brought my computer. I was like, I'm going to write for 2.5 hours on the way back. It's going to be great. No plug.
Mm.
And I engaged in the stupidity hunt. Have you ever done this? When you're so sure something is somewhere, in public, you're like, you say, yeah, I know they have this,
Mm-hmm.
And then you get there, and everybody's watching you, but you're still searching frantically. And if anybody's watching you, they're thinking, this guy, I think he has bugs on him? What's going on? And I was slapping the walls. I actually climbed over the back of my seat, and there were people sitting behind me, and I'm like, oh, sorry, I'm looking for an outlet. And they're just like, this guy's insane. Had this young lady sitting next to me. She fell asleep, started snoring, put her butt, put her whole, left ass cheek on my thigh.
Mm-hmm. Because
she just kept scooting over, there was no armrest in our seats. And I had this horrible, what a rickety form of transportation, it's the kind of it's like a plane in that, it's not quite like a plane, but it's like a car. Where it's, inherently you feel very safe taking it, It's just, it's, a train. But if at any moment, right before you board, you think to yourself, I could be in a horrible accident. If I was in an accident, I'd die. You can't relax the whole train ride.
Because
it jiggles and bounces and stuff. It's a lot like, a high school cheerleader in that way. It's bouncing and jiggling all over the place. And
very hard to find an outlet.
But notice.
Very hard to get lost in a train. That's got to be a plus.
Yeah, it really is. If you have to walk back to the club car, you're definitely in the thing where it's like, okay, if I just keep walking, I'm going to find out where I was.
You got to figure the engineer knows where he's going.
Oh, that too. Yeah, it's not very often. Although our guy did have to stop and pull over and ask for directions at a Amoco.
And let's face it, nobody's felt completely safe on a train ever since the chilling cautionary tale of Under Siege 2 Dark Territory.
Yes, I mean, don't let Eric Bogosian...
I check under my seat for Bogosian.
Make sure he doesn't have a nuclear weapon.
Mm-hmm. He can come on if he doesn't have a nuclear weapon.
Right, he's fine, because then he's just, you know, Eric Bogosian.
Don't let him in the club
car. Right. But if he has weapons or any, like, dark-skinned, like, Germanic-looking... very large men with him. Mm-hmm. Don't let him on because he's Bogosian the terrorist.
Definitely. He's got to check them as baggage.
Yeah, he does. He definitely.
No question.
And claim them later once he gets to the station.
You know, any historian worth his salt will tell you that railroads played a major role in the development of America and, you know, the spread of cities where they are.
Audio footnote. End audio footnote. That was a misnomer. Freeze. Cut to... cut to a historian at Meijer who's forgotten his wallet. Come on!
Look, I just need
this. Just this Morton salt.
I'm telling you.
I'm worth it, man.
I'm telling you. No railroads.
Cut back.
Wasn't sure the perspective to play there.
That's okay.
That's all right, man.
But I just... Where did that... Like, you know, when was that...
Yeah,
I guess back in the day, salt was really important because you couldn't preserve food without it. So, mm-hmm. But like, was it ever like a lover's type of thing? Like, honey, you are really worth your salt.
Like, talk dirty to me.
Yeah, I know. And I'm going to Roger
you. Never, you know, line a guy up. No, he's not worth his salt. He has. Wow.
That man is not worth his salt. Take it from him.
No, my salt.
That boy grew up to be Albert Einstein. Now you know the rest of the story.
Oh, the recall's fast and furious tonight, folks. We are so jaded. Mm-hmm. If anything even remotely like the noise of the door opening occurs, we're both like, milkshakes. That is going to be the only time I mention milkshakes for the rest of the show.
There's a very curious thing in the studio. People are always hanging things on the studio door. And for the last several weeks, there's been a big, you know, preserve the rainforest, you know, rah-rah rainforest. There are animals in it who are cute and cuddly to motivate you to want to preserve the rainforest because the leaves alone won't cut it. But somebody taped a big poster of Coco Taylor, Queen of the Blues, in the middle of the rainforest poster. And I'm a little worried that that means somebody airlifted Coco Taylor, Queen of the Blues, into the middle of the rainforest. So
well, she's actually hiding from the blues. There was a military junta.
Yeah.
And she was overthrown.
The generals took it over.
Yes. The general of the blues is actually now running it as a military dictatorship.
Oh, yes.
She's in hiding.
So if you're a rainforest, please, you live in a rainforest, check for Coco Taylor.
Or if you are a rainforest, stop for a second. Mm-hmm. Check yourself for Coco Taylor insertion.
I would have to recommend that, you know, prior to wrecking yourself is when you should check yourself. If you're, you know, very busy, you know, you got a lot of things penciled in for the day, you know, you think you can squeeze it in, like, right after you wreck yourself. Yeah. Like, right after, you know, like, 9:10, wreck yourself, 9:15, check yourself. No, please.
No, try to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Like, maybe move, you know, like you were planning on getting your hair cut or, you know, getting some bread at the store. Switch that to after wrecking yourself and go to the checking yourself
first.
That's
great. I love the check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah?
I'm big on that humor.
Oh, good.
I really am. I love that saying. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Audio footnote. I'm not kidding. There are many people out there who've had tragic, terrible experiences who know that I'm not kidding and know that it's no laughing matter.
He's not kidding.
End audio footnote. All right, funny man. What do you want to do next?
Woo! Wow, there's a weird energy going tonight. There's a weird. I am feeling loopy, feeling ready to go.
Yeah.
I want right now. I'm gonna make a call. I don't want milkshakes. I'm asking for milkshakes. I want to see how many women we can get down to the studio right now. Every woman in the listening area, if you have a car, get in the car. Get down to the studio right now. I want to see. Hey, screw it. How many people can we get down to the studio right now? Let's go, everybody. I don't care. Don't come bringing gifts. I just want to see anybody who's listening to what Jill is like right now. I want you to just stop by the studio. Within the next, you know, hour and a half. I want to get loopy, man.
Audio footnote. You're welcome to obey Eric if you want. You know, obey his request. I will note that I'm a little robot boy. I'm only 3 feet tall, and I have metal parts. And I'm very ashamed because I envy the human children, you know, who can run around and play with balls. And, you know, my metal parts are very stocky, so I can fly around like a jet. But the children make fun of me because I'm not a person like them. So I get uncomfortable. That's all I'm going to say. The little robot boy gets uncomfortable. An audio footnote.
Audio footnote. I got three words for the little robot boy. Robot punch fists! I know kids who'd die to have robot punch fists. And heat vision? And turbines in your butt? And audio footnote.
Audio footnote. Rudolph, the red-nosed punch fist boy, had a very turbine-powered butt. And if you ever saw him, and you were a gigantic lizard who was threatening the city, and were not a friend of children, like Gamera, the robot punch fist would knock you on your ass. I doubt you a footnote.
Nice. Okay, so anyway.
I'm going to ride a train tomorrow. That's kind of exciting.
Yeah, yes. It's going to be kind of like a, you know.
So, I mean, you know.
Experience
like,
in common. And you ride the same train I rode, just the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll look for the, you know, the shape of your butt.
Yeah, if cushion. You can. It's mm-hmm. It looks a lot like Papua New Guinea.
Was it a good seat?
It was a good seat.
Seat reviews. How was the seat?
I thought that its underlying structure was good.
Mm-hmm.
The motifs that it was employing, especially the repeating motifs, I had a little trouble with. I thought the mm-hmm. symbolism was a little heavy-handed.
Tell me about the colors.
Kind of an orange background.
So we're talking, you know, kind of the richness of like a Gordon Willis in the mid-70s.
Yes, yes. But then overlaid with a definite, like, a dark over to some black grays and very pale blues.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, much like a... I don't even know. I don't know who's working in that style.
Well, it sounds like we've got a booty call.
We do.
Good. I'm going to take a plane later this week, too, which is kind of exciting. I'm going to go out to California to visit a relative. Planes. Call the Cuban terrorists. I'm leaving on a plane. I don't know the number. I don't know exactly the company because I don't have the ticket yet. It's, you know, it's been ordered, but I don't know the exact company. Somebody else ordered it. But if you're a Cuban terrorist and, you know, you're looking for the right opportunity, you know, either this plane goes to Cuba or, you know, the entire thing blows up or you get $1 million, something like that. Looking for the right opportunity. I'm leaving out of O'Hare Wednesday morning and I'm looking, you know, for exactly that
now,
sort of
see,
thing.
Now, see, we're just doing this as a service because back in 74, I believe, we had a Cuban terrorist attempt to hijack the studio and,
demand that it goes to Cuba, or
to Cuba.
He gets $1 million.
Actually, he kept
saying
Cuba. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we made fun of him for a while on the air about it. Then we realized he was serious. And it was really a bitch getting this whole studio down to Cuba.
And that terrorist grew up to be Elian Gonzalez, also known as the Boat Boy. And now you know the rest of the story.
Man, this is chock full. It's like circular.
Mm-hmm.
We're really bringing it, you know, we're bringing it full circle at this point.
Have you heard about the prices on modern chocks? They're plummeting. Everything must go.
No.
No. I mean, like, the chock industry is huge. It's a big explosion. It's the next .com is chocks.
Okay.
Yeah, invest in chocks. That's a stock tip from What Jail Is Like. Get out there, to your stockbroker, demand chocks. I'm telling you now. Go to his home.
Everybody's on the phone right now to their buyer. And their broker is E.F. Hutton.
Mm-hmm.
And what E.F. Hutton says, everybody's listening.
Get me coffee. Everyone brings him coffee.
I know, because he's E.F.
Hutton.
Hutton. Add a bad word in between the F and the Hutton. Yeah. Damn. That was the closest I've ever come to swearing on the radio ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't even all that close, but in my head, I swore, and I said a bad word.
Be interesting to see if the final tally ever changes. but, you know, currently, as it stands among the What Jail Is Like crew, Matt Trupia has two swears. I've got one. If you tally up music that we've chosen, I'm not sure where we're at.
I'm way up, because I keep doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got one, at least that I know of. Matt Trupia's got two.
Does he?
Yeah.
I remember one, but I remember
there was one on our demo tape.
Oh, really?
Amazing, yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, Jed, the demo tape. Kids, if you've been taping this show, got two words for you. eBay. All right, get on there. You're going to make some fat cash. Like, tapes of a radio show that I like. $5.
Wow.
eBay.
So eBay descriptions, like, who, why do they put WoW in there? Who is being sold? Oh, it's a WoW item. Oh, this guy likes it enough to give it a WoW and 3 exclamation points.
Honey, this one says WoW.
Bid on it, dear.
Honey, mortgage the kids.
All right.
I'm going to bid $52,000.
You got to save that to put it into chocks.
All right, I'm going to Priceline. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, like, sitting around, okay, what do I... I've really got to... Man, I got to make rent. I've got to sell this ceramic Elvis head. Ceramic Elvis head. The king in your very own home. Painted to resemble 1972 Elvis. Wow.
Cut to the buyer. I got an Elvis-shaped hole in my home. I want that young Elvis, though, when his cheeks were full of life. I want the sallow Elvis, puffy, having used drugs. But I'm not willing to take just any sallow, drug-using Elvis bust head. I want a wow sort of head. Where can I find it? Oh, great price on chocks. Screw the Elvis. Cut back.
Woohoo! So, yeah, yeah.
So in the news this week, I just happened to notice, I'm, you know, increasingly, I would say that I'm increasingly disinterested in the, you know, American presidential campaign.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I started out at about, you know, zero, so I don't really know that I have anywhere to decrease. I think, you know, like if I, you know, decreased anymore, you know, I'd like break out in rashes or something, yeah, when it was mentioned. But I noticed that, you know, I just want to put the call out to elderly, you know, old white guys who are rich, because George W. Bush is looking for a running mate. So if you're an out-of-work old white guy,
yeah, you're
leap
rich
into that. Leap into that. I want to, you know, provide that service to our old white
guys. You don't
guys
even have to have any knowledge, prior knowledge or anything. Just mm-hmm. Have it, if your father ever served in any office anywhere,
mm-hmm.
you're in, man.
And get us a cabinet position while you're at it.
Right, I'd like to be right next to the really nice China.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I want to be Secretary of Defense. I've got some real great ideas on how to be Secretary of Defense.
I want to be Secretary of the Interior.
Mm-hmm. Bluff. Then I'll get into fights with the Secretary of the Interior and defense versus interior. It's great, you know?
Yeah.
The best interior is a good defense.
And I want to be Secretary of Education.
Okay. You can be both?
Yes.
Can you be both?
And I want to be Secretary of Doing It on a Futon.
Okay, see, I don't know if you can do all three of those, though.
Okay, then I just want to be Secretary of Doing It on a Futon.
Okay.
To make sure that everybody's doing it on a futon, that the safety regulations, the strict safety codes are being followed, that unionization of the of Doing It on a Futon is, you know, unanimously passed, and then, you know, just really given a wide berth with which to, you know, establish its roots.
Let me just say, I really hope that we can work together. However, if there's, you know, the threat to cut defense spending in order to allocate funds for doing it a futon, perhaps, you know, the construction of a national futon or, you know, inner city futon programs.
That'd be good.
Well, there's going to be trouble. No, there's going to be trouble.
There's going to be trouble.
We need our defense funding.
Oh, whatever, man. No, doing it a futon way more important.
Long-range bombs. The communists have the futon. We've got to stop them.
There's a futon gap.
Yes. Huge futon gap.
Who will be the first to do it on a futon?
Oh, the boy. Asians got the word in their language and they're acting like it was always theirs.
Man.
Nervy bastards.
The Russians have had monkeys doing it on futons for years.
Damn it! They put a man in a futon in space. He's doing it.
By himself, though.
Yeah, well.
That's not a Christian thing.
No, it's not. Bomb
a God-fearing country. I also want to be, can I be Secretary of Lemur Butts?
Absolutely.
Starting coke off of.
You gotta have a
comma
certain pity for the Secretary of the Interior, you know, because it's a very big position, you know, you're like right up there with the president, but you know, at parties he has to explain what it is he does, you know, like, yeah. Secretary of Defense, you know what he does. Secretary of Education, fine. Secretary of the Interior, oh, you're Secretary of the Interior. Is it that you do?
I take care of all the, like, the national parks, all the nature, all the outside areas of the nation.
Oh, well, that sounds important. So I hear the communists have the futon.
Yes, but I take care of all the parks and all the national forests, the resources. Well, you know.
That's great. I'm going to go talk to the Secretary of Education.
Okay. You're cute. I love you. So that's the sad. That's a sad, yeah, night when, you know.
And later that
when
night.
When Julie from the secretary pool is, you know, cornered by the Secretary of the Interior.
Right. the Secretary of Education gets a booty call.
Yes, he does. Booty, oh, teacher, don't stand so close to me. Oh, I don't know what I'm doing over here. Oh, anyway. So I went to Peoria for the first time ever.
Yeah, how's Peoria yesterday. These days?
I mean, have you ever been there?
A messy breakup.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you talked to Peoria lately?
It insisted on developing its own government. I thought it was doing fine just by my suggestion.
Anyway, you're driving down 74, right? And everybody really knows that Chicago's the only city in Illinois, you know? There's Springfield, and it has, like, delusions of cityhood. But, you know, the only real city. Like, mm-hmm. I'm talking, like, city. You come around this corner, you're on 74, you're out past Bloomington, there's nothing. You know, you're heading towards Iowa, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
You come around this bend, and all of a sudden there's this, like, basin, like, this indentation in the earth, because there's a river, and there's this, it looks like some elven city out of, like, the Lord of the Rings, you know, like, from a distance. It's, like, it's beautiful. It's just, because you're above it, because of the way that the whole thing's built, you're actually mm-hmm. above this city, and it's in the trees, but it's, like, a city, and then you get in it, and then you're like, oh, wait, it's Peoria. And we went to a Subway in Peoria yesterday, and let me tell you, not a sandwich artist at mm-hmm. all. Kind of like a, I was saying, it's kind of like a sandwich pimp.
Mm-hmm.
Not very gentle with the sandwiches. Wanted to know where her money was. Smacking the sandwiches around. My BMT needs to get off the streets. So if you can help us out.
What's a BMT?
I don't know what
exactly. What's an M?
Big meat.
Taco. Tomato.
I don't know what it stands for.
Tortellini.
Maybe it's
Tokarski.
Bacon, meat, and tomato. Tokarski.
Toho Studios.
Yes, it is. There's
Big Meat Toho Studios. And they don't make it all that well, but it comes with a cookie.
It does.
Yes, it's great.
It's actually just a guy in a rubber sandwich suit. So don't try to bite into it.
No!
And then they build these huge versions of, like, the wrapper and, like, a bag of chips and stuff so that he looks like he's really the size of a sandwich.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Audio footnote, because most of you are 16... Toho Studios made the Godzilla films from the early 60s. Godzilla in those movies, instead of being a horribly, horribly computer-generated, ugly, stupid Devlin Nemric creation, was a guy in a rubber suit. See, now it's funny, isn't it? Ungrateful bastards. End audio footnote.
Audio footnote. Fire extinguishers are very important to have in the home, so don't go outside and spray them all over the place. Because there might be a fire, and then you won't have a fire extinguisher to deal with it. And audio footnote.
So, the other thing, thank you for saying that, because it reminded me. I saw my first, fire where it shouldn't be fire. You know, like...
Oh, wow.
It was at the Solo Cup factory.
Yeah?
I was working.
Uh-huh.
I was packing some cups into... Or actually, I was loading cups into a printing machine.
Audio footnote. Party at the Solo Cup factory!
It was awesome.
And audio footnote.
I was looking across at the end lines, which is where the actual, when they're making cups. Like, what I do is I take the already made cups and we print things on them for, you know, promotional things like McDonald's and stuff like that.
It's the end of the line for you, cup.
And, yeah. But this, over at the end lines, it's just where the cup itself is, you know, created, and they pull them off the lines. So there's these forklifts that drive through the Solo Cup factory bringing bulk cups to the printing department, you know, doing certain things. And they have these little orange flashy lights. So out of the corner of my eye, I start seeing something orange kind of flickering. I was like, oh, you know, it must be one of the forklifts. And I realized that there's no way for a forklift to get over there. So I look over, and there's three temp workers standing on this machine with this huge jet of flames, like, shooting out of the top of it, and black smoke roiling everywhere, and the smell of, like, burning silicon.
Mm-hmm. And they can't really complain, because that was in the job description.
It was.
You know, like, you sign up for the job, you know, huge roiling flame.
But it was actually weird, because there was this guy who actually... picked up one of the boxes that was then on fire and moved it to where it was supposed to, like, he continued his ritual of, like, lift box, turn, put box down, but, like, he lift flaming box, turn, put flaming box down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he saw it was flaming at some point, but he never panicked. He didn't, like, throw flaming box or drop flaming box and stop on, turn, set flaming box down very carefully on top of non-flaming box. It was real, and I was, the thing is that the machine I'm loading, you know, I have to keep loading it. Like, mm-hmm. I have to move very quickly to keep it loaded. But I was transfixed.
Element reviews. Fire.
Hot. It's mm-hmm. hot, baby. Hot. It's smoking.
I like the fact that, I mean, it's very low cost. It's inexpensive. And, you know, it replicates the fact, you know, that's very good.
Yeah, I think that I really like its fashion sense. Mm-hmm. I really like its color scheme.
Yeah, it's got versatility in
it. It does, and utility.
Yeah, it's got a lot that it does for you. It's very bright, you know, it lights things up, but it also makes things warm.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's very, very much more, you know, an add-on sort of element as opposed to, you know, like Earth, you have to add, you know, the long-range planning. It pretty much just continues to do what it's doing,
and
you know?
And then wind does squat.
Oh, I know.
Just, it's there, it's not there, air,
mm-hmm.
whatever with the air, man. Water?
Water, I mean, water's good, you know, but, you know, I think it's unfair to, you know, necessarily, you know, degrade the, you know, fire in comparison to its element. Because they're independent elements.
You know, here's something I always felt bad about. Like, when does fire get to win?
Yeah.
Like, fire can never be the best. Water sucks compared to fire, man. Fire's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And people should be lighting things on fire as often as possible.
Yeah.
Especially things that don't belong to them. I think that's great, but it never gets to win. Like,
no.
It's water's like always like, what's up? You know?
Mm-hmm. The sleeping giant, like, you know, like the guy who lives on the corner that, you know, you may be able to extract lunch money from everyone else, but he's the end of the line.
Yeah, exactly. So I always felt bad for fire.
Me too.
You know, it's like darkness. Darkness is pretty much screwed when light's around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like heat and cold. Like, darkness isn't anything in and of itself. It's just the absence of light. So it's, you know,
it's also some teenagers' souls.
Yes.
Yeah.
And don't we understand? So put on more eye makeup. Because then your parents might get it. And they might love you. Daddy might stop hitting you. Mommy might say that she loves you. You're 34. You need to deal with these issues. Sorry. What?
Nothing.
Oh. Oh, how you doing?
Doing all right.
My throat's kind of dry.
Yeah?
I need some, yeah.
You need a milkshake?
No, I need water.
You need water?
Water. Definitely water. A milkshake would, you know, do the trick, I'm sure, but
mm-hmm.
Water will be fine.
113 North Market Street in Champaign is the address of the WEFT studios. In case you care to directly interact with your What Jail Is Like hosts, perhaps say interaction in the form of a milkshake.
Or kissing us on the cheeks.
Kissing Eric on the cheeks.
Yeah, don't try to kiss Mark on the cheek.
Audio foot now. I've got cold metal cheeks. being a small robot boy, they're very cold metal cheeks. And, you know, sometimes actually if my turbine butt is going, I'm flying through the air like a jetpack, then I'm, you know, it's very hot because there's a lot of energy being expended. And also, I'm only 3 feet tall, so you kind of have to bend down to kiss me. I could stand on the chair, theoretically. But I'm just warning you, you know, your lips will get cold because I'm a little robot boy. And audio footnote,
form blazing sword, radio robot boy. See, don't complain anymore, okay? And audio footnote.
Can I put the blazing sword away?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Where does that go?
Where do I know, man? How do your nipples work? You know, like, what are they there for? You don't know. They were just there. You deal with it.
Well, I know what my nipples are here for.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You could write a book on that. It's a bestseller.
Yeah.
It's a bestseller in the making.
They're there to be gently bitten and teased.
I hear Brad Pitt's interested in the movie rights.
Yes. He wants to play my left nipple.
Oh, good.
Ed Norton is my right, kind of, you know, repairing the Fight Club duo.
Pow, pow, pow.
Nipple Club. Nipple Clamps is actually what they're going to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Nipple Clamps. Is there somebody out there?
I don't know. Somebody came through the door. I don't know.
Dun, 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 dun,
I don't
dun.
Even like it.
It's really early for milkshakes, though, man.
Yeah.
Stop this. We really are like the Roman Empire. We're degenerating.
So it's about time to go off to a song.
That's
right
cool
now.
With me. I'll get some water from the bathroom.
Phone number is 359-9338. Let's do advice.
Yeah, let's do advice. Please call us, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Call and give us your problems.
We want to hear from everyone and anyone. Anyone who's got something on their mind that they want to hear sorted out in a very, you know, caring, confidential, you know, very professional manner on live radio. So 359-9338 is the phone number for advice, anything that's on your mind, because we can deal with anything.
And what do we call this segment?
We'll deal with that in the introduction.
Okay.
So it's the advice segment. Please give us a call. Once again, 359-9338.